The guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Music is...
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, April 1st. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today, I'm finally getting to start a show. You know when you made appointments before, have them come on the show, and they keep on canceling, saying, oh, we're talking to the government. And I said, no, man, you promised to come on the show. I wanted to have the show. But they finally call and say, they are available. Today, I have members of the National Association of Justice of the Peace. So it's a new organization. They give an orientation of how long they've been around, what is the meaning of the organization. But I want to talk about Justice of the Peace, right? Because I want to talk about all these passports going around, floating. I want to know who to blame. And we have two good, decent gentlemen in the studio. And I got to blame somebody, right, for these documents. And I want them to go over the procedures on exactly the role of a justice of the peace, why there's talk about fraudulent documents. But there's a big event they're having also on April 10th. I'm going to talk about that later on in the show. But we're going to start off by them introducing themselves. Then we're going to speak on what is... They have schools, because these gentlemen teach, right? They have schools on how to become an official Justice of the Peace of the Bahamas. So I'm going to get some information about that, just in case the listening audience is interested in taking advantage of that too. But I'm going to have a comprehensive conversation about justice and peace in the Bahamas in general, especially being so close to the election. I just had someone downstairs just mention that with their e-passport, they miss and spell a letter or in their name wrongly, and they had to go all through rigmarole. And I want to know if they had to go to a justice of the peace to get some kind of signage for that. So all these questions I can put forward to my guests for the day. But without further ado, I'll have the good gentlemen introduce themselves, and then we'll go around the room trying to get some definitions and some meanings and some understanding of the whole organization and justice of pieces. What the plural? Justices of the peace.
Right.
See? Yeah. Not a justice of the pieces. Okay, no problem. I understand.
You're allowed to make up your own words.
I appreciate it. Well, welcome again, gentlemen.
All right, I'm Bishop Sean McKenzie. I serve as second vice president for the Association of the Justices of the Peace.
I am Christopher Roberts. I am a member of the committees for the association and co-chair for the upcoming conclave.
Yes. We can talk about the conclave later.
Yes.
I want to understand what a justice of a peace is, right? I think in the United States they call it a notary public. Is that the same thing?
No.
Okay, then you explain the difference to me.
I probably shouldn't say that they're not the same, because, of course, jurisdictions have different applications, whereas in the U.S., I think the requirements to be a notary is different in the Bahamas. But my understanding, in the Bahamas, you have to first be a lawyer and apply for the licensure as a notary.
Right.
And so JPs, while many attach that title to themselves, are not notaries.
What?
Absolutely not.
So JP is not automatically a notary public?
No, sir.
So what's a JP?
A justice of the peace.
But what yours do?
You notarize. We are able to notarize certain documents, passports. You can sign the application of the passport and put your stamp on it. You can make up affidavits, affidavit of means, affidavit of birth, affidavit for name. A lot of different documents they can do. But whenever a document requires a signature of a notary, and that document is leaving the borders of the Bahamas, justices of the peace usually don't sign that document. A notary public is a special licensing that is assigned to lawyers, and not every lawyer is a notary.
Not every lawyer is a notary?
No. Oh. So that is something that they have to apply for every year, pay for, for that license, that special license, to sign documents that leave the borders of this country?
Well, one of the key components of it, too, is that in as a notary, you're assigned a number. JPs are not signed numbers. And because of that fact, when that document leaves the country, that number can be, or that document bearing that number of the notary, if needs be, can be tracked to that person. Right. Whereas a JP has no number that's affixed to that document. Therefore, international agencies, governments can't track the document back. And so anything, as I say in my class to students, because the challenge, CA, is that unfortunately, in our country, even the system doesn't understand the difference between, or that a JP is not a notary, because often you will see even government documents that are coming for a JP signature, but it's requiring it on the document says notary. And I often say to them, if you say the JP could do it, then put JP on the document. Mm. But as long as notary is on it, I try to discourage my students not to sign it. But once that document leaves the country, so I say to my students, anytime the document, if you have any suspicion that it's leaving the country, like sometimes you find somebody is traveling, they're taking a young child, and so they have a letter of consent.
Yes,
I know. That go to a notary, not on. A JP.
I got to pause you, Mr. Bishop.
Yeah.
I confuse. Okay, so I confuse.
No, but let me tell you, let me speak to that, Chris. While you may advise them to go to a notary, if you're using a letter for the purpose of travel,
mm-hmm.
And a justice of the peace signs that and stamp it, the authorities here that resides here, the American representative in the person of the immigration officer, they have accepted that in time past.
They give you leeway.
Because that letter is not being used abroad. It's permission to allow a child to travel with her aunt or an uncle or some relative or some other person who the parents are endorsing that it's okay for my child to go with them. That document remains in their file here in the Bahamas at the airport.
It's a technicality you're saying.
While
accepted and legally permitted are two different matters.
I appreciate your coming on the journal.
That is being presented to a foreign agency constitutes the need for a notary. Because what if that document is required for reentry while you are in the U.S.? What if they really want to do due diligence and put the system in place like it's supposed to be? Then you're in problems.
Right. Let me go back, Bishop, and go back, because I need a definition now. Right. I need an official definition on what is a justice of a peace, of the peace. Give me your definition. Explain.
Justice of the Peace is a peace officer.
Peace officer.
It's original, and Chris will be able to speak. Because
he's a teacher inside this. I understand.
This part of what he teaches every semester.
So what is it that you do? And
so
I'll go back
peace to... officer, the original intent was for Justice of the Peace to be a peace officer within his local community.
Mm-hmm.
Also given the power of attorney to sign certain documents.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the Justice of the Peace here in the Bahamas, we have certain documents like that you're authorized to sign.
Mm-hmm.
We're governed by the Magistrates Act.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be called upon as a Justice of the Peace to sit in as a magistrate. They would choose any two Justices of the Peace.
To be a magistrate?
Know. Absolutely. And they may put you through some briefing and some brief training, and they take two competent, able justices of the peace, and they can sit in as magistrates. This has happened already.
Mm-hmm.
We've had justices of the peace who sat in on as magistrates and juvenile courts and other means. On the island, the same thing can be done. A justice of the peace can sit in as in the place of a magistrate and rule over certain small matters, cases.
Okay, let me ask Mr. Roberts now, since you're the teacher. I'm going to give you a free plug now. What's the name of your school?
I operate under C.A. Roberts and Associates.
C.A. Roberts and Associates, right? And you have a tutorage type school that does what exactly for Justice of Peace?
When I went into foreign affairs, first posted at the passport office, began dealing with documents the JPs produced, I began to see atrocities, to say the least. And when I moved from the passport office and I went into the consular division, it saw even worse. So I began my personal studies, I began my research, and really initially it was for my own benefit, but I ended up producing what at the time could have been considered as a curriculum and was encouraged that maybe I need to teach this. And so we got started teaching. And so basically what it is, it does not certify you or appoint you as a JP. It gives you the tools, the information, the do's, the don'ts, how to do, what not to do, kind of thing over a 10-week period. And I'm not the only program. Of course, you have UB, you have Etienne de Puch. There's one or two other schools who are teaching the Justice of the Peace course, simply in an effort to do what the government has not taken the courage to do, insist that these people they're appointing be trained to know the work that they're doing.
Is there a certification program for Justice of Peace? Like, how does one, besides the government saying, swear you in, and now you're an official Justice of Peace?
There's no certification. There's just training. Preparation.
And then the government endorses.
I advised every person seeking to become a Justice of the Peace. We have training also in the association. Tanya Sawyer does training there. Christopher's really stood out with the way he has put it together, his curricula. And so all of this training, two of the more popular ones is him and Tanya Sawyer now. All of this training helped to prepare people so when the time comes that you're called upon on to prepare any document, any type of affidavit that you can have the right verbiage and the right layout of that document, and people don't have to be up and down. He talked about seeing so much atrocities, and that is that people go with a document and they are turned around several times. It's not correct. The setting is not right. The layout is not right. So when you go through these classes, you get the right perimeter of how that document should be set up in a Word document.
And the verbiage and everything.
What type of paper it should be on and all of that stuff.
Okay, and just for my listening audience to understand it, after you take your class, right, how does one become an official Justice of Peace? Do you apply someplace?
What happens? Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you again, CA, you don't have to do the class to be appointed.
But you don't have to
No. There is no requirement to be trained.
That's what we said earlier.
There's no requirement presently.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully we'll speak a little bit about the bill. The bill that the government is attempting to put through Parliament is now dealing with the matter of training. But presently, under the present structure, anybody can right now go and complete an application, submit it to the government, and if the government so selects their name, they are then appointed
as
Justice
of the Peace.
With
no training.
Sadly, we have JPs who can't and write,
my Lord,
who the government has appointed, and successive governments have done it. Mm-hmm. Let me make that clear. This is not a thing that just happened last week. This has been happening over time, where people who
don't appreciate the job.
Not that they don't. Yeah, they don't have the means to appreciate.
Right.
They don't have the, I don't want to say intelligence. They don't have the educational ability to even perform in the job because, again, they can't read or write, but yet they're Justice of the Peace.
But part of the response of the association, if I may say, mm-hmm. And one of the ideas that our president, Devin Rule, had, the president of the Justice of the Peace, mm-hmm. The sitting president, Devin Rule, had, was to have two different levels of justices of the peace,
okay,
that are being appointed. Some are functional, who may be doing everyday work and endorsing, notarizing certain things, signing search warrants, doing affidavit. And some, they may not have the ability to get to that level of executing those type of documents. So it becomes an honor bestowed upon them.
Okay.
And and they could, they don't have to have that pressure of having the expectation of doing documents.
Let's talk about this National Association of Justice of the Peace. What is that? You formed an association. A group of you come together and form an association. I want to know why. And I want to know what is it that this association does. And right after that, I'm going to go to the phone line because some people want to ask some questions. But I want to understand what is the mandate of this National Association of Justices of the Peace.
I believe every body within the Bahamas should have some type of association. The Bar Association is what governs lawyers when they get out of hand. Lawyers can be disbarred from the recommendation from that association. The architects have also formed an association. So you have the Architect Association, and if they find that a construction, the whole 9 years of construction, if you defraud somebody, they can probably make a recommendation for your license to be revoked. I don't think the Justices of the Peace should be any different. Sometime in 2009, a group of persons came together and met at somebody's house and organized the association. By 2010, Philip Archer became its first president, and Tanya Sawyer was the legal person at that time who made up articles to submit and got the non-profit request that was made from the registry. And so it's registered, it's incorporated, and it's registered. And since 2010, when it was granted by the registry.
So who's the board now? Who's in charge? The president, vice president, so on?
The president of the Justice of the Peace is Devin Rule, mm-hmm. Pastor Devin Rule, better known as Ambassador Rule. Mm-hmm. I serve as one of the officers. Chris is one of the person who plays a key role mm-hmm. in organizing and overseeing all of the committees. Mm-hmm. We have First Vice President Belinda Chipman. We have Sinead Campbell, who serves as Secretary. We have Miss we operate about 50.
So your membership is
we have a member person too.
How many people are in your organization so far? Or is it just growing? It's still growing. Like numbers of. Justice of the Peace.
But you know, strangely, there are hundreds or more so thousands of JPs who are out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are not a part of the association.
So you're encouraging people to join?
Absolutely. So the association is definitely under 200 persons mm-hmm. and probably about 40 active mm-hmm. In terms of on any given times the rotation of attendance. And sometimes you can draw a bit more than that, depending on the event.
Okay.
When we had one of the times that we met at PCPOU Hall for a press conference, we had more than 100 plus mm-hmm. that showed up. So, our quest now is to try and get people to really, join the association.
Register. We have a caller here and I want to talk about this bill. The other time you were, I saw the organizations raise some concerns with the government. We're doing some things. And you all met with the government in terms of what the proposed bill that they're pushing forward, and you made some suggestions. I want to have some commentary on what the bill is about. What can we expect? I'm just learning that anyone can become a justice of peace just by just applying. You don't have to go through any formal education. And I want to know what does this bill intend. But let's go to this caller first, and then you give me some insight on that. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Yes, great show, CA, and your guest. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, Raider, I just want to remind people who are doing notaries, right, and who are justice of peace, that the United States borders do not accept signatures, any documents signed in black ink. It has to be in blue. I know in the Bahamas, we normally accept things notarized in black. But the ports in the U.S., if you want anything to be ported in or taken out of the country, they don't accept documents in black ink. I just want to make you get a note of that, so you remind people of that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Christopher, you're the teacher. You know about anything about that?
We couldn't hear. You heard?
No problem. Let's continue. So let's speak on the bill. The government has proposed a bill. Yeah. What exactly is the government proposing?
First and foremost, we want to state that as an association, we are not opposed to a bill. We were advocating for a long time and welcome a bill that speaks to our times and to some extent governs, because it is really the present Magistrate Act is very, very weak, if I could use that word, in terms, it doesn't speak very much to the real structure of the JP. We're in there, but very lightly. So a bill specific to what JP is and what JP does is welcomed. However, the contention of the association was in two areas. Number one, that the government was attempting to put forth a bill without consulting with the association, which is the duly registered body for JPs in the country. Mm. No other bill goes through Parliament without speaking to the stakeholders, without getting input. JPs should not be any different. Secondly, when we did get a hand of the bill, there were a number of things in the bill that we took great exception to. Had they consulted with us, and mind you, legally, they are under no obligation to do so. But wisdom says, talk to the people, talk to the stakeholders, all right? I think had they spoken with us, there would not have been a pushback because we would have all been on the same page. There is in this bill, presently, JPs are appointed for lifetime. It's a lifetime appointment.
So once I have a JP, I have it for life.
For life.
Okay.
Providing you don't do nothing to get disappointed.
Yeah.
All right? So as long as you're alive, as long as you're mentally fit, you are a JP. This new bill, however, is requesting persons to reapply to be a JP every 3 years.
Ah, like the notary public.
Oh, no, no. Notaries don't reapply. Notaries renew. Uh-huh. This bill was not asking for a renewal every 3 years.
I see the difference.
It's asking for a reapplication. So they haven't said this, but when you say to me that I have to reapply, then I'm thinking that whole process that I went through, I have to go through that again every 5 years, every 3 to 5 years, which for us makes no sense. Okay? That's one of the issues. We are, however, suggesting that we look at a renewal as opposed to a reapplication. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why the renewal for us is important is because, sadly, you have JPs who have the assistance of their families, whether it's an older man or older woman, whatever, he got, you know, his family helping him prepare his documents and those kind of things. And we found cases where mommy or daddy died, and because the daughter who was assisting them is familiar with the process, they're still performing JP duties.
My God.
Okay? So if we have a renewal process where everybody must meet a certain criteria every 2 or 3 years, and when you would have provided proof of meeting that criteria, must now appear in person, much like the NIB verification.
Absolutely.
Prove that you are, in fact, still alive to be given your remuneration from. So it's the same thing, a renewal and moving us from an full lifetime appointment to a licensure where we'll be given a number, much like the notary. Mm-hmm. All right? That's one of the issues. One of the other ones, and then I'll let VP speak to, one of the other issues that for us is of major concern is that this bill seeks to give far too much authority to whomever sits in the seat as AG.
Attorney General.
There is no board of consultation. There is nothing in there. For example, they are now, in this new bill, you're now being required to keep records, something that I have been promoting in my class for the last 8 years in teaching it. Mm-hmm. All right? I've even authored record-keeping documents that many of my JPs have purchased and have in their possession. So we support the record-keeping issue. But if at any point you are called upon by the authority they show up and asking you, let me see your records, and you've not been keeping good records, you can be fined up to $5,000 by the AG himself.
By himself. No consideration.
Now, here's the problem I have with that. Number one, you want to fine me up to $5,000 for not doing something, number one, that I volunteered to do. Number two, you didn't give me the means or the skills to keep record. You ain't give me no record-keeping book. So how can you demand I keep a thing when you, by giving me, as a JP, the government don't even pay for my seal. I have to go pay for that myself. So you give me nothing other than a name. That's the first issue. The other issue is taking personality. So I'm not speaking to the present sitting AG.
Okay.
I'm speaking to the position, the office of the AG,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sia, how we do politics in this country.
Mm-hmm.
If the AG at the time is an FNM AG,
mm-hmm.
and you see you're a PLP,
mm-hmm.
and I don't particularly like you, and you run afoul of the law, I can hit you with $5,000.
Mm.
Whereas if my boy come before me, because I alone have the decision making how much you get fined. If I find him, I may find him 500. And it could be even something more atrocious than what you did.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to give that kind of authority and decision-making power to one person is dangerous. There should be a board that whenever CA commits some infraction, that is presented to the board. The board makes, they adjudicate the case. And even if it, after adjudicating it, it then goes to the AG for final sign-off, fine. But it cannot be that one person alone sits in the seat to be able to decide whether you are fined $5 or you're fined $5,000. No, that's a challenge.
You mentioned this to the government already, your concern?
We have not had a sit-down with the government concerning this. This is what the conclave is going to be, that we're going to produce our response to the bill. But the government has agreed to stand down in tabling it.
Okay.
Let me speak to Bishop McKenzie first
before I go to the caller. Go, you have any comments on that, what Mr. Robert said?
Yeah, no, that is so important, the collaboration and consultation. I think that the association needs to be given the teeth. It needs to be effective in helping to manage and monitor JPs who are there who may be running afoul. When we even talk about these passport issues, I'm pretty sure at some point they're gonna be able to link some sort of affidavit that should not have been made up to some of these. So I feel that this bill should also speak to giving the association the teeth it needs to be able to. And he talked about a board as opposed to one man making a decision. That board also should reflect persons from the association sitting on our board along with other personnel from the AG's office. It should not just be a board assembled there, but just persons from the AG office.
Okay.
And so I really think that the association needs to be given the authority and the teeth it needs, just like the other association has, for the lawyers, the Bar Association. We need to look at this. And whatever training you offer from the legal perspective for the JP Association, those who would sit in that seat on these boards, then provide it, but ensure that we are involved.
Okay.
A very, very important thing he brought up just now, and I know you say you want to talk about these passports later, right? But here's something that needs to be noted, and I know that JPs are out there doing foolishness, right? But when it comes to the issue of affidavits, people need to understand, I can't say this wholeheartedly, but if we're operating the system the way it should happen, JPs cannot be accused of any ill will where affidavits are concerned. Why not? JPs don't swear affidavits. We prepare them. Mm-hmm. We take the word of the two people swearing the document. So you can't hold me if, perchance, two people swearing this document that they know him to be who he is and he isn't, I, as the JP preparing that document, cannot be held liable.
I can come back to that question. Yeah. If you hold on to that, don't let your anger escape. Let you escape like that. Right? I can come back to that question. But let me go. Let me go to the callers. Let me go to the callers now. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. We're talking to Mr. Christopher Roberts and Bishop. I got to call you Bishop McKenzie, who is the vice president, official... Second vice in the National Association of Justices of the Peace. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning, CA. Morning to you again.
Morning. Morning.
Yeah, the JP. You know, CA, I heard your guest last comment in respect to trying to clear the air a bit about the JP is not being responsible for affidavits, right? But I put it to you like this. I believe JP is becoming, we should be moving towards making them extinct right now.
What?
You don't need all, do you all have a record on how many JPs are functioning right now, sir? Before I move on to my next point.
When you make them extinct, any document you need, you're going to have to go to a lawyer. And your fees just quadruple.
I mean, rightfully so.
So what is your purpose? What is your purpose for wanting to make them extinct?
Yeah, because then you look at it. I don't know whether or not anything has changed when you're saying that affidavits are not really solely the JP's responsibility. I don't know if that changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I can walk into a JP and I can get a document without them even knowing me.
What kind of document are you talking about?
If I want something notarized, I can go to them, and I don't have to produce much. I don't have to produce much to get it done.
What kind of document are you talking about, sir?
If I want an affidavit made up now, right? I can use a JP. They know me, but they don't know. Everything else that they should know, that they're supposed to know, and I can get that document what I need. I'm telling you, it has.
You've
it has
done it. Happening. You've done it.
Yes.
Right. So,
that ain't no problem.
So, be careful now. You're on radio.
Yeah, I'm not.
You've done something with a JP that you felt have done.
I'm a legitimate Bahamian.
Yeah.
I'm a legitimate Bahamian. So, I don't have nothing to hide. I'm a Bahamian.
Right.
I was entitled to that.
Yeah.
But I used the services. But my only point is, other person can go in and they can get the same service. I'm telling you. But my only point, and I don't really want to expound on it too much, but my point is, when there was a need for a JP, we didn't have that much lawyers. But we have scores of lawyers now. Scores of lawyers. So what's the purpose for having all of these JPs?
I'll have them respond to that, Clever. But I want to mention that when I was younger, when I say younger, about 12, 13, my mother had to take me to Fairleigh Palmer on East Street.
Yep.
Fairleigh Palmer knew when I born. Mm-hmm. He knew my ma. He knew my pa. I was in Boys Brigade. He knows me. He can tell me my middle name.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother went to them and said she need an affidavit for me. And Fairleigh Palmer said, you bring your documents? And my mother said, but you know him.
Doesn't matter.
And he sent me back.
Yeah,
I was absolutely mad. He sent me back and say all of these things are required before he put his signature on it. So I just want to give a testimony that JP's is asked for documents.
You know, right. Hear what I'm saying. And this is where, you know, the gentleman, quite frankly, his statement in ignorance. He obviously does not understand what the process is. Fairleigh Palmer, when he puts his signature on that document, he is not the one swearing the truth of the document. Mm-hmm. Neither is he, by law, required to do so. If it went to court,
right,
he could not be held accountable for what's in that document, whether he know you or not.
I understand.
That document that he did, your mother and somebody else had to sign that. It is they.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's say you can't walk in my office right now for me to do an affidavit of birth to say that you were born in the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know you. I don't have to know you. It's the two people signing your document. What if they bring me fraudulent documents? I have to look at what's in front of me. I prepare that affidavit. And if later on the system finds out that these documents were fraudulent, thereby an affidavit used to further the cause of this, the two people who signed the document.
Witnesses.
Not the app, right. Not the witnesses. Not the JP.
How, do you know of any JP who say, man, I'm looking at this and this document don't look right to me? I've done it. So you JPs are able to
yes.
I'm doing that.
If you have right. some reservations, you are under no obligation to do it. But if in your judgment what you're looking at by virtue of just looking at it is authentic, or let's say the documents look good, but the two people you're deposing, their story don't sound like, you have to find somebody else because this ain't lining up. Right. But in your judgment, once you are satisfied that what's come to you, you're not held liable if the two people who signed will be held liable.
Right. Some texts and some callers. You want to say something?
No. So we speak to a different version. So Chris is absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
That the JP is in the clear. Once
very quickly. Correct.
But I'll speak to another version of it. If the justice of the peace is in collusion.
Mm-hmm.
With another person, where he knows, because we have had more than one went to prison.
We lock up justice of the peace?
That's right, yes, went to prison. So if he colludes with individuals, knowing full well that a person was not born in the Bahamas, and as some of us will need an affidavit if we were not registered at the time of birth, and he colludes with two persons, with a person to get citizenship for another person by getting an affidavit made up to say that they were born here and two persons witness it, there are some people who have received thousands of dollars for doing that type of thing. It's absolutely wrong. So that is the aspect where the justice of the peace now become, he's now liable for
that. Very quickly, let me tell you where we are also, CA, that a lot of JPs don't know this either because nobody tell them. This is where JPs can be held straight across the board liable, signing passport application forms for people you don't know. You must know that individual at least 2 years or more to verify that passport document. But a lot of them sign it because they want a little $5, $10, but you're in trouble when you're doing that.
Interesting. Let's go to the callers. Let me read this text. CA, no wonder my country is going through issues. If there is more than 200 JPs, there goes the fraud and corruption scheme. Your guest thinks it's more than 1,000. Can your guest tell us how many foreigners in the country are JPs? We have had blind and docile leadership in the Bahamas for 52 years to discredit of the Bahamian people. Vote change, Bahamas. That's a little boast. You don't got to respond to that. Just had to read it.
I'm more interested in that question that is posed. How many foreigners are JPs?
There's no personal foreign extract who could be.
I don't think so. I don't think. I'm hoping not.
Again, they would have to qualify that. The fact is, under the present law, you can be a justice of the peace by, once you're a Bahamian,
citizen?
By virtue of birth, naturalization, or citizenship.
Right.
So if I am a citizen of the Bahamas.
Yes.
But let me
be talking about people who have come from a foreign descent. But the fact is, if they are a JP, they would have had to meet the qualification of citizenship.
Right.
But they're Bahamian.
But they're Bahamian by virtue of citizenship. Right.
Okay, let's go to the callers there and then continue with the text. And then I want to talk about your conference. Make sure we mention that. Who should attend this conference? And why is there a need for this conference? And what is the objective of this conference? But we'll talk that as soon as we clear the board from of these callers. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live?
CA.
I'm live. You go ahead, you're live.
Good morning. Good morning to the JPs.
Morning.
JPs, how do you become a JP? Because what we know is you check your MP or a cabinet minister and you get it like that. What qualifies someone to be a JP? That's the first question. I don't know if you could write it down. The second thing, under the current law, like you mentioned, under the current law, those JPs who can be convicted or either with the word you use, colluded with the persons to break the law, what kind of time is there? What is the penalty? If you could tell me that quick, right? Because if you say something small, I will tell you if we need to ask our politicians to go in parliament and implement a law to make it more stiffer to deter a JP for being colluded with something. And the people that will come and lie into the JT being dishonest, right? What kind of penalty we just give them for that? And do you think it need to raise the deterrent to scare them from coming to lie to a JP? The JP, you say going to jail before, how much time they give him for that? You can tell me the question before I come up to the phone, please.
I didn't follow up on the time that they got. We know that at the time there were two persons sitting up there who were justices of the peace for a certain act that they had committed. And it's brought to my attention. I didn't follow the case through. The judge will be the one determining the time. I don't know that we could put any particular time for any of the matters that was before the court. So the judge would be the one to grant the time. Or if the case ends up, you know, before a jury. As for the qualifications, we mentioned earlier in the program that there are no qualifications.
Well, that 18 person, years old.
I mean, but that
18 years old, a Bahamian citizen by virtue of birth, naturalization, or citizenship, and of good reputation within your community right now. And honestly, as he alluded to, ideally a connection with your member of parliament, especially if he sits in the present government.
So most of the appointments would have come by way of
it's a political
appointment.
It is. It's political appointment.
Highly.
Most of it.
Now, also, I want to say this. I've known PLPs who got appointed under the FNM. I've known FNMs who got appointed under the PLP. So it isn't just because often people say, well, I know PLP, so I ain't apply. No, I've seen cases where it would have happened. But the political, because at the end of the day, the final approval comes from cabinet. And the cabinet is the government who sits in seat at the moment.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines, but I want you to answer this after this phone line question. Say, CA, this is a question for your guest. How come the JP next to the immigration building has nothing but Haitian workers, and I witnessed them giving out 20 passports to a straight Haitian that couldn't speak English? Call her. Text her.
Giving out passports. They have no authority to issue passports.
Text her. And you had me read that text. Text them.
Do they mean password forms? I they mean password forms.
That don't make no sense. Hey. Let's go to the caller there. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live. Go ahead, caller. Kerwin, set
Hello.
Go ahead, caller. You live.
Good morning to your guest.
Morning.
Yeah, well, I do appreciate the disclosures of the man inside there, right? It's a few questions that help, you know, out of ignorance or just visceral, whatever, right? But there are too many loopholes, right? To me, this justice of the peace system is antiquated because I can see the loopholes. So how come, let's say, a person, an affidavit, people say affidavit, I just pronounce it how it's spelled, affidavit, right, from the hospital. You let's say a nurse delivers you. There should be some documentation. Now, I know fraudulent documents exist, but for me, I'm offended, not personally, but I'm glad of your disclosures. But you're saying that the JP cannot be held accountable. But with that inefficacy, what's the point? If what I'm saying is, in other words, if someone brings you a false document, there has to be, you know, you said the document put forward, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it's frightening for me because what if a situation like somebody signs off, somebody gets married twice to, let's say, a Bahamian woman marry a Haitian guy twice or something like that. And what are the consequences? Is there anybody before the courts now for any fraudulent activity?
Justice of the peace has nothing to do with marriages, my friend. That is, that a marriage license is issued by the registry and by the registrar. So if a person has to have a affidavit of spinsterhood or bachelorhood made up by JP, they're swearing to the fact that they have not been married. And when they submit that affidavit along with their application, and only Bahamians who are 40 years and older and having never been married would need an affidavit or a foreigner marrying to a Bahamian. When they submit that to the registrar and the registrar grants them that and it's discovered sometime later they were married in Colombia or someplace, that document testify against them in court. The JP could not possibly know that person have been married in Colombia and has no means of searching whether or not the person was married in some other country. But the document of the affidavit, it testifies against them because the statement is there saying that they have not been married. The second thing is, When he mentioned that a JP cannot be held accountable for that document, we are talking about ideally the person who's a JP doing it the correct way and having two persons who serve as the witnesses signed on that document stating that we know John Blow for more than 10 years. He grew up in our community and they signed off on that. But we did mention that there are times that JPs could collude. So we didn't say they cannot be held accountable. In the cases where they collude with, to make up a document, a false document, where they're being paid a certain sum of money, they will be held accountable, and they have been held accountable by the courts.
The floor is lying lit, but I want to make sure I get the information with the conference out. When is the conference? Who needed to attend the conference?
The conference is being held on Friday, next week, Friday, April 10th, at the BCPOU Hall. We begin at 9 a.m. We will run from 9 to 3. We're happy that Excellency Governor Dame Cynthia Mother Pratt, who herself is a JP, has consented to be in attendance for our opening ceremonies. And just yesterday, we were able to confirm the newly appointed Acting Chief Justice Ancilla Evans as our keynote speaker. We will go throughout the day to address matters relative to JPs and, of course, address matters in the bill, too. Who should attend? Definitely persons who are already appointed as justices of the peace, those who might be, whose application might be in process and you're interested. This will be beneficial to you also. Very quickly, persons on the family islands, you are also encouraged because though you may not be able to fly in, we do have a private access link for you once you register and pay. You will be given a link that you can zoom in and be a part of the day's festivities. We have an exciting program lined up. And, you know, for us, it's kind of a relaunching of the association. As we know, we've been around for a while. And so we encourage you, Justices of the Peace, to come share, bring a friend who is a JP. And all of these questions that you guys are having coming in, especially if you're a JP, come to the conclave and bring your questions. We'll address them.
Is there any fee for this?
Registration is in online registration is, get the number for me, please. Online registration is $25 for members of the association. If you are not yet a member of the association, your registration will be $30. And if you wait until the actual day of to register on site, it's $35. If you're not a member, we will also have applications for membership available at the conclave where you can decide then to fulfill the requirements to become a member of the association.
When, where will be the conclave be exactly?
BCPOU Hall on Farrington Road.
And what time does it start?
Starts at 9, from 9 to 3. Breakfast and lunch is included in that $25. Yeah, would you believe it?
$25. How do you do that?
Okay, and which day is it again?
Next week, Friday, April 10th. If you want the information for registration, how you can register online, please call this number, and they will advise you. Number 558-6076. 558-6076. Let them know you're calling, you want to register for the conclave, and they will give you the information how you can go about registering.
Do you have a social media account, a Facebook page or anything like that?
Right now, we are working on a web page that hopefully we'll be able to release. Actually, we're updating all of that. As of Friday, we will have. So right now, it's basically the number that you want to call.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. I just want to show, we can try reiterate it again at the end of the show, but I will make sure that information is out for next
week. One correction,
Friday.
Somebody's reminding me. I said Acting Chief Justice. She is the Acting Chief Magistrate, yes. Ancilla Evans.
Good. Let's go call her, Guardian Radio AM, to C.A. Nuri. Go ahead, caller. You're live. I can hear you, caller. Go ahead.
Hello,
you live?
Hey, Bishop, if you lose your sight now, would they take the license away from you, or you could have your wife or your secretary? In other words, can a blind person who you say over 18, I thought you had to be in over 30 or something, can we check the cabinet minister or MP if you have a good reputation or, like you mentioned, all of the qualifications to be a JP? If you lose your sight now and get blind, they can take the license away from you all? Like, hang up and listen.
Thank Boy, you. I would advise, if I'm going blind, I can't verify what I can't see.
Yeah.
So So I would hand in my own license. I would hand in my own. I would resign doing any document because I have to verify that.
Yeah.
And and it's unfortunate that if somebody loses their sight, who may have been a noted JP in their communities, but you can't verify anything. So the people who you rely on could do anything.
Mm.
You know, and I if I'm going to be liable for something responsible, I want to be able to see that. And so I think, and even if a person is Alzheimer's is coming on, the onset of Alzheimer's, as soon as you could verify that family members, in most instances now, take control of that member's business. Any business transaction.
He said something also that I want to just point to. He did make mention that we said qualification is at the age of 18. That is the present requirement. The new bill, however, is asking to begin at age 30, which we support. We support that.
You support that?
Yeah, 30 gives
more
you
mature,
a little grounding.
A little
it gives
mature.
You now have reputation in the community
right.
as being somebody trusted
mature.
And matured, and
but,
people will come and talk to you.
But
the
point of 22-year-old
yeah.
as a JP,
yeah.
he's just figuring out life.
Yeah.
I understand. Is this one more caller here? Has it seen caller?
Hello,
go ahead, caller.
Yes, I have to agree with your guest. When he says that the person signing the affidavit is responsible for any wrong or fraudulent information granted in the affidavit. And I think what Cleaver was alluding to is that there are people, JPs, that become complicit with giving false information.
Correct.
You know, making up affidavits in collusion with false affiants.
Right.
I think the big elephant in the room, and some people are driving to, is that these persons, basically from the island of Hispaniola, Creole-speaking persons, making up affidavits and saying things that they are from, or I'm born here, or whatever the issue is. But remember now, they also go to the consular general from Haiti's office and makes an affidavit in order to get documents in the Bahamas, which we don't have any control over, because the consular general from Haiti is the one that can notarize documents for them, and that is what they use, and those documents are not qualified to make them citizens or to get them documentation in the human documentation for citizenship or passport or whatever it may be. That is where the big problem is
okay.
created. That's the big hole in getting false Bahamian documents, because Haitian individuals cannot do anything based on affidavits. They have to get documentation from their government in Port-au-Prince. Basically, it was by a decree of the president of Haiti, which had to be done.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, let me run through these texts, and I want you to conclude again with the conference, right? It says, good morning, Mr. Nuri. Listen to your show conversation. It's evident that the system is broken. We need to tighten up on the protocols and use technology and more enhanced training to ensure that JP have the tools needed to close the gap. Thank you for showing the Bahamian people another patronage scheme used by political parties to the system is left in chaos and corruption. We'll continue to strive in our country. CA, what if the person given a JP and their parents are foreigners? Isn't that kind of tricky? Is there any JP in fraud cases now? It's legal for JPs to solicit jobs on the passport offices and registrar general office. Anyhow, hope the conclave you guys are having is productive. Obviously, the system is flawed. Give me the information about the conclave again.
The conclave, next week, Friday, April 10th, ECPOU Hall, Farrington Road, beginning at 9 a.m. You can register. As a matter of fact, this week, Friday, is the deadline for online registrations. After that, you'll be locked into the $35 at the door. We're looking forward to seeing you. Please spread the word. The JP Association in the Bahamas is alive. We're progressing. And if all of these changes that you're talking about, Let's work together and make it happen.
That's next week, Friday is the conference.
Next week, Friday, April 10th.
9 o'clock in the a.m. and then 3 o'clock.
So 3, yes.
$25 and $35.
Yes.
Right? $25 for membership, $35 you're not a member. Lunch, breakfast.
And breakfast is included. Yes.
Okay. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Murray. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining me. It was insightful. I learned a lot today. I may want to become a JP. Yeah? Have a wonderful day.
Blessings.
Try the rest. Roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.